Welcome to the Evolution of Leaders podcast. My name is Darwin Lee, and I am a coach and speaker. I'm the founder of the Evolution of Leaders. On this podcast, I'm interested in exploring the traits, habits, or behaviors that set apart elite performers through their stories and in their own words. On this episode, I interview World Dragon Boat Champion Johnny Chow, a world champion with Team Canada, multiple podium finishes internationally at World Championships and World Cups. Now, Johnny's unusual in that he made a national team on his first try, and he cites his dedication as a determining factor. It's interesting when you hear the story about how his club team went through a difficult time and went downhill, in his words, and from that period he learned patience. I was really struck by Johnny's wisdom, even with his age, just with so many insights and the ability to self-reflect and to be self-aware, and that's really served him well. He's also someone who's mentored others and just so much knowledge. I hope you enjoy this interview. Hey, hello everyone. This is Darwin with the Evolution of Leaders Show, where I help people and teams grow and improve. My hope after listening to this podcast is you will learn something about work ethic and community, because today's guest is Johnny Chow, who is a world champion in Dragon Boat with Team Canada. He has multiple podium finishes at the national level and with Team Canada at the World Championships and World Cup. He also has multiple podium finishes with his club teams, One West and Dragon Zone Premier. Johnny, nice to have you on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I really appreciate your time.
I'm wondering how you might describe yourself and your career.
I guess over the years, I've learned to become kind of like a leader in my own sense. The way I kind of run with things is I learn and grow at the same time. So when I like help people through leadership, I kind of like to, more in a subtle way, I like to help people in effective manners that help them individually grow without, you know, taking like full credit for it. And I just really love kind of orienting myself in that sort of mindset.
And so you started out in 2013 with a rec junior team, and 7 years later you're a world champion. How did that happen? How did that work out? That was pretty quick.
So I guess with my background in high school, I didn't really participate in many sports programs because it was more about getting my education done, going to a college or a university that can get me a career. It's kind of like the flat line for regular life. And then I kind of tangented off into the leadership program at Langara, which kind of got me through idea that maybe this team sport can also take me somewhere as well, and help me grow as a person. I learned a lot through those years in 2013, 2014. We were on a competitive junior team. It was just more in the sense that I took it myself as more just recreationally, more for fun, as a social aspect. At the time, I was more into weightlifting and more the fitness background. But as I got through to 2015, 2016, once I graduated high school, I learned that there's a lot more to like dragon boating in the competitive background. And that way I could actually incorporate my fitness background and as well as the water component that I just had to add it into my training.
My understanding, you know, you're in your 20s, young fellow. Were you the youngest person on Team Canada?
Not anymore. When I was my first time, I was around, I think I was 21 or 20.
So you made the team on your first go, which not everyone's able to do. It's not the usual path, let's say.
Yeah.
And so what did you do that was different? What do you think might have set you apart?
Personally, I think it's my like internal competitive drive. I really wanted to, like in 2015, I got exposed to the U18 program for Team Canada. Yeah. And I kind of just like, I was already 18 at the time. I was an overager, but I just kind of tried that camp out for fun, just to see where everything was, like what this program was as a whole. Love to challenge myself in, especially in fitness oriented recreational activities. And I wanted to just shoot for the stars and just try out for Premier. I really was tunnel vision into that mindset that I really wanted to make that team. Whether I made that team or not, I wasn't actually sure at the time. But I was willing to put in anything and everything that could improve my fitness or improve my goal of reaching that.
You know, going from junior level and then setting your sights on premier. And so that's like the, you know, the open age category. Yeah. And so was it intimidating at first? And, you know, how was that kind of stepping into that arena for the first time?
I think the process was a little bit intimidating. More for me, it was more exciting in trying to develop myself and really incorporate aspects of fitness. I did get a lot of help along the way. For me, something personally is like, if you're not sure about something, it's okay to reach out for help. I had a lot of like mentors and teammates that really like helped me through like learning how to paddle or learning how to really connect with the water. And they spent time with me, and they also have a background on the national team. So they have the same kind of mindset, and they really helped me develop as an athlete and as a person as well, just by learning, taking the time and spending the time with me when I wanted to pursue something that I really was eager to pursue.
Sounds like you got some help and you weren't afraid to look for, you know, like guidance and stuff like that. So what were some of the things that mentors and coaching kind of gave you along the way?
I think coaching personally is more about being a support system and there to be your guidance. They're not really there necessarily to literally intentionally like make you better, make you fitter. But they're kind of key aspects to, if you're unsure of something, to kind of understand it better or use their knowledge that they currently have or have experienced and kind of pass that knowledge along. Whether it's correct or not, it's still kind of a piece of something that we can all take. And something when I'm learning a lot is, sure, you can listen to everyone, but you can also take a grain of salt with everything you kind of hear and kind of just filter out concepts and ideas and kind of take what you think is the best out of those and make it your own and develop it into something that could make you better personally. So it's more kind of intermingling it into your personality versus, I guess, molding yourself into what they expect you as to be as an athlete.
Okay. And so if you were talking to someone who maybe it's a junior or maybe it's someone who's just in general looking to make a national team, what kind of advice might you pass on to that person?
Definitely think about the longevity of the sport versus the kind of the instant gratification that you all kind of look for nowadays. I think it's hard to understand everyone's background in the sport, and we kind of just see the surface of it most of the time, like, oh, like this guy is fast or this guy is strong or this lady is strong and this woman is like super fast, like how do I get there? But in reality, like the amount of hours you spend, the people we ask for help that spend hours with us, and just like kind of that dedication and mindset, it has to be there right off the start. Without that, it's hard to create objectives to move towards that goal. In that process, it's about kind of also adapting and learning to that curve versus kind of being stuck in a certain mindset.
In terms of mindset, then, when you're really embracing the grind and you're doing the workouts, your body wants to quit. Maybe you're doing a weight exercise or, you know, something on the water and it just pain and it's not over yet.
Yeah.
What do you do to get through that?
I think if it's, say, like as a team, where we're training through on the water, for example, I think like, say we're going head to head in outrigger canoeing during these hard workouts, it's kind of relieving to say that we're all going through that pain together. And it takes away the mindset of, like, wow, this really hurts, and kind of just sheds light on the idea that we're doing it together and we're trying to grow as a team. So the pain in the end is kind of worth it. From an individual perspective, I think it does take a certain mindset to get used to, like, training alone. I've trained alone for quite a while as well. And it training alone, I think, is definitely one of the hardest things. It's because you just, like, the only motive is you being out there or you being in the gym or you being like in that moment in training. And that takes a lot mentally, I haven't necessarily been there every step of the way. I like a lot of times where I would self-loathe, not thinking I was good enough, and really kind of putting myself down. So I did struggle in periods, and it was kind of it's not a straight line. It's more of like a roller coaster, and I tap into a lot of like emotional side of myself. So it is tough, especially training by yourself. And I think that's the best part of like the camaraderie of teammates, and just going through that idea together, without, say, my teammates. I think at least in the first 2-3 years together, that's my really development years where I really progressed, and without them pushing me head to head, and just like going through that same team mindset, it would have been a really big struggle to especially even like see the end of my goal of making the national team without them.
And we saw you lifting some pretty heavy weight there. Yeah. You seem to have a little problem pushing by yourself, but so there's an interesting story that we talked about offline that I was wondering if you could take us through. So you started with you know like a club team and had kind of a good time and a good season, and then sometimes that maybe weren't so positive afterwards. And I'm wondering if you can take us through that.
Yeah. So I guess a little background in 2016, 2017, that's where the Dragon Zone Premier began as a crew.
Your club team, right?
Yeah. Brand new team to represent our club. And the first year we were kind of, we really didn't know what to expect out of ourselves. We just kind of grinded through it, did all the work. Maybe it wasn't as quality as we wanted, but in the end, we pulled through like first locally at all the races. And then 2017, similar locally. And then I think once we reached nationals that year, we realized like, wow, we have a lot of work to do to compare to these other crews, because we weren't quite on the same, I guess, level. We are all on the same level, but not to put that down, more in the sense that we just have a lot of work to do to make up that progress that we need for Worlds in 2018.
Yeah, yeah.
So when we went into 2018, the off 2017, 2018, that off season, I think something we struggled through was right off the bat in the off season, we got into this idea that if we don't win these local regattas or festivals or whatnot, then we have like absolutely no chance at Worlds. That as a whole kind of took us downhill in that year, creating kind of that negative mindset. We really put ourselves down at practices, which was a struggle for us all. Some affected more than others, like I guess into that emotional aspect, where like frustration was just like showing. Like I've definitely showed my frustration at practice. My teammates have shown frustration at the practices, and it was kind of just like a miserable time throughout the entire year. And by the time we got to Worlds, we were a little drained, I think. It could have been programming as well, but I think overall, just the mental toll it took on us throughout that whole season, just the 1 year, really brought us downhill. And started, instead of thinking of like, I guess, more positive attributes to bring us uphill, at least in the mental state versus maybe physical state. Because I knew our crew was physically fit. We all very fit athletes, a lot of potential, which was kind of like sad to see in the sense that we couldn't hold on and grasp the same mindset as a crew, which we struggled to intermingle our ideas, because we're always just clashing our personalities, ideas, versus trying to work together as a team that year. Once we got to Worlds, I think it took a while to reflect on that. In that moment at Worlds, at least for myself, I was frustrated, because I guess I really thought about, I was being selfish, and I thought about myself, like, I really want a podium, less about how I can get my team, or how can I help my team. And I was kind of part of the problem as well. It's not just other people.
Okay.
I think if I also could have changed my mindset, it might have, maybe it wouldn't have, but maybe it would have helped at least build more morale moving into Club Cruise. But I think looking back on that experience, we actually made a lot of progress because the top five or six teams in the world are Canadian teams. So it was kind of like nationals for us again, but at a different location. And I think that was something it took time to sink in and process that we did actually make tons of progress. I didn't see that like right off the bat. Again, like you don't see that when you're in the moment, but when you're really tapping into reflecting after, it took me like probably a year or two after to rewatch the videos and either just like laugh at it, or like we're like ridiculously far behind. It was okay. Like we were still up there with the world's best, and we actually did pretty well. Like we got like fourth in the small boat 200, the mixed standard boat 2K.
That's a great result. Yeah,
it was a huge regardless of placement, it was a huge achievement for us. Kind of to wrap up the whole competition as well. It was just really like satisfying to feel that.
You mentioned to me beforehand as well that you learned patience in through the progress of going through these experiences that you developed through paddling, you're saying. So it's interesting to me, you kind of learned a kind of a life lesson through paddling. So I'm wondering what that looked like, to kind of, you felt like you became more patient.
Over the years, I mean, I was pretty young to start with. When we first started the Super Crew, I think I was around 19 or 20 at the time as well. And I think over the years, it takes a while to mature. You can't just first year like, oh, I'm like top dog and I'm the maturest of the team. It kind of went as a crew together. We went through our failures together. We learned from these experiences together. And I feel like personally, at least I've matured throughout the years, not taking it directly to heart, and again, like self-loathing and building it upon my own mental state. And just to kind of look at it from the other perspective of like all these other teams are working like crazy hard too. Like, especially at the world's level, they're like literally professional athletes, and we're there for like Canadian pride. And I think once you kind of wrap your head around that idea, it takes away from like, man, again, like once you're at the competition, a loss does hurt. But again, you're able to just take that humbling moment and think of we need to work harder the next cycle, or we need to change some things. And you kind of just learn from that process versus putting yourself down. And I think that's something that's really changed over my years of paddling. Especially when you're paddling by yourself, it's you always just self-dialogue and in your own head, and you're getting in there, whether you like it or not. And that's something that I struggle with a lot, for sure.
In our time talking here, you've mentioned that your emotions a few times, mm-hmm. and that you tap into your emotions and you use your emotions.
I'm an emotional guy.
And so how do you find the balance to tapping your emotions without overdoing it, where, you know, maybe your emotions take over, maybe you get frustrated or whatever it might be?
I think it's learning from that too. I personally definitely have shown a lot of my emotions, especially when we lose a race or when I'm not feeling good, or like I had a panic attack or something like that. And it's more, you learn to accept those emotions. You know, it's always going to be there, at least for myself. It's just part of me, part of who I am. I'm not going to like do my best to remove it from myself, but more look into that situation of how can I manage my emotions? How can I use it just enough that it brings out my heart, but at the same time, not take over, like going ballistic in a race or something like that. Right. Obviously we're going ballistic in a race, but it's a fine line that it takes going through to learn it, for sure.
There's a healthy number of people trying out for the national team. Yeah. And it's especially Premier is very competitive to make the team.
Yeah.
And so, you know, to give people a taste of what it's like. I'm wondering if you can take us through kind of in the 1,000 meter team pursuit.
Yeah.
But, that it was one of your goals. And I'm wondering if you can take us through what it was like. You're competing against China and Thailand. And the 1,000 meter is a painful, it's associated with a significant amount of pain, let's say. And so I'm wondering if you can take us through that and kind of what it was like, you know, lining up with maybe butterflies and then how that went.
That was my first World Cup experience, along with a lot of the teammates that I made. There was a lot of their first time as well. So a lot of us were excited to see this new opportunity. It was really different for us because it was televised. So the races were based on their schedule for shooting the show versus our sanity and resting between. Hour between rest between races. But we had I think after our heat for the 1,000, we had 4 minutes till we went to the next 1,000. It was grueling. We finished the race. We were all really tired, and then we went straight to marshalling, and then we sat in marshalling, and then we went straight back on the water. So that was definitely one of the most painful enduring races I've done. But I think moving into the final team pursuit, it was a different race. It was men in the small boat, women in the small boat, and basically the last person of your country or last boat of your country to pass the line, they'll take that time as your time. So it was really about strategizing, working together. So the women would go first and then a 10-second stagger, and then the men would go. So then with our strategy, we kind of worked in working those two crews together. We practiced that a lot, wash riding, drafting each other. But it was a lot of pain, definitely, to catch up to our ladies, especially because they're just so strong.
Pretty fast, yeah.
Yeah, they're ridiculously strong. So then in the final was interesting, because we just went like crazy, and it was a new experience for us. Even the coaches, it was steer the boat and stuff like that. The boats were different. We were kind of used to it, but not really, because they're a little more narrow, more receptive to turning. And 1,000 wasn't a straightaway. It was, I think, five 200 meter turns.
Oh, so wow.
You're literally sprinting, you're sprinting. You're just doing 200s, turn and goes, basically.
Yeah.
So it was a different type of pain versus a straightaway of 1,000. And yeah, the feeling in the end wasn't, we weren't sure, obviously, because we're all spread apart.
Because it's a pursuit, right.
Yeah, it's a pursuit, right? Yeah, we're trying to catch each other, racing around the course. Yeah. But obviously China is a very, very good team as well. So we weren't going to pass them or anything, as nice as that would have been. But so then it all came down to that result in the end, and kind of waiting for that result and seeing where we took. I mean, during the day, those races, we did pretty well. We were always first overall on the time standpoint, but we didn't know, again, head to head, it's a lot different when you're with these crews.
And so, wow, that's pretty cool. And then what's it like the moment you find out you won?
So it's just a moment of relief. We did work really hard as a team. I think we all shared that same passion, especially to beat China in China, at least in one distance, was just an experience that we don't get very often, and we could really tap into really being happy for each other, and just kind of, we just hug each other, coaches left and right, we're just all hugging. Again, that's when it's good to have that emotional, bring in that emotional state that you know that you worked hard for this, and that you deserve to experience something like this.
That's awesome. So, Johnny, this has been a pleasure. Congratulations on all of your achievements, and wish all the best, to whatever national team races are coming up and whatever the club team looks like. And thanks for sharing your insights on leadership.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for having me. Really appreciate
and,
it.
And we can find you on Instagram and let us know what your Instagram handle is.
It's at Dragon Boat Johnny. Johnny with a J-O-H-N-N-Y, not a J-O-N-Y.
We got it now. Thank you all so much for listening. If you want to learn more about this topic or others, go to my website, evolutionofleaders.com. Make sure you get 1% better today and tune in again on another episode of The Evolution of Leaders. Thank you for listening. Thank you, Johnny.
Check it out.
I hope you enjoyed this interview. We heard how Johnny learned patience and to moderate his emotions. He has a mentality to deny instant gratification, just so important on the pathway to success, and instead to sacrifice and put in the hours now to help you reach your long-term goals. Whether you're a world-class athlete or a weekend warrior, leadership is important to all of us. Johnny shows us and exemplifies that in his ability to self-reflect and improve during that process. And these are some of the cornerstones of leadership coaching. I am a leadership and career coach. Go to my website if you'd like to touch base, evolutionofleaders.com. I would love to hear from you. Please like and share if you enjoyed this. Thank you so much.